Welcome to The Well. This podcast focuses on applying the Bible to our everyday lives, discussing real-life issues from a Christian perspective, and encouraging women to walk in faith. As Jesus followers, we have all experienced the freedom that comes with choosing to follow Him, and we want to be a part of your journey to living a life rooted in Christ. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop, recently voted best locally owned retail store in the Gulf Coast. Y'all, they have everything. Your Wagyu steaks, a deli, fine cheeses, fine wines, desserts, just all the amazing things. They're located at 8190 West Fairfield Drive in Pensacola, Florida. And don't forget about their free lunch program through the KTF. 7 days a week, a child can walk in to Costello's and get themselves a sack lunch and fill their bellies. I think Christy said they've almost beat 100,000. That's amazing. All right, so go in, say hi, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and don't miss out. You will be so glad you did.
It is Truth Rising Tuesday. Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Esme, and I am here with Maggie today. Today, we are talking about last week's podcast. If you have not listened to it, go back and listen to it, because today we are going to dive in deeper, talking and answering questions that you may have, or just talking about real life practical ways to put into practice. How do we encourage and how do we build up our own families?
Yeah. And I'm so excited to talk about this. Your podcast, it really did challenge me last week of speaking life into my husband. I feel like it's easier with my son. You know, he's a little cutie pie. He's a toddler still. So it's just more natural, I feel like, to pour into that. So it was very challenging to me to look for those opportunities to talk to my husband. And so we just kind of want to do some more things like that. What are some more things that you ladies can do in your home to build up your husband, your child, your whoever you're living with, you know, your mother, your father, your roommates, whoever is your family at this time, who can you be building up? So I did want to start by just talking about this analogy, this imagery that we see in Proverbs 14:1 of building up a home. I love imagery in the Bible. To me, it just helps me to get the picture. You know, what is God trying to say? And there's a reason that God uses this imagery. And so when I was chatting with Esme, we were talking about this analogy a little bit and kind of talking about what do you need before you even start to build a home? First off, you need tools and materials and you need the know-how. There's no way I could start building a house right now. I have no idea how to do it. I don't know how to lay a foundation. I don't know how to do drywall. I don't know how to do a roof or, gosh, install a toilet, anything like that. I have no idea. I can maybe nail two pieces of wood together, and that's as far as I can go. And so we really need that know-how. And how do we figure out the know-how? The know-how is going to come from God and His Word. And it's also going to come from wiser, older women who have gone before us and can help us. And those are two really just invaluable tools that God has given us, because we really need both of those things to really get it down and really learn what we're supposed to be doing. So you do need to make sure that you're in God's Word and that you're praying and seeking His face on how to build up a home. Because if we are left to our own devices, we're probably not going to do that great of a job. We might be able to get a shack together, but ladies, that's not our goal in this. We're not looking to just put something sloppily together. We want to build a beautiful home for the Lord. And so the other thing is the tools. What do we need? What are some tools that we need to be able to build our home? And the thing is a home has so many different things. There's a roof, a floor, a door, a window, you know, all these different things. And so we're going to need different tools to be able to build those things up as well. And again, that's where we're going to have to look to God. And, you know, I just think of the fruits of the Spirit and those types of things. Like, we need to have love in our home and hope and joy and peace and patience, all of these different things we're going to need in our home as tools. Even if you just look at what your own spiritual gifts are you using your spiritual gifts to build up your home? You know, mine is, one of my big ones is exhortation. Do I exhort my husband? Do I use the Bible to speak life into him when he's having difficult situations? Another one is teaching. I love teaching my son about the Bible. Are you using your spiritual gifts that God has blessed you with in your home? And then we also have to remember that you need patience to build a home. You do not build a home overnight. You have to be patient. You have to remember that while you're doing your work, the Lord is doing his work in your family members. And it doesn't come quickly. It takes time. You know, even if you have a huge crew, it's going to take time. You're not going to be able to pop up. Again, we're not looking to just throw something together. We're looking to build a house on the foundation of God. And we want a beautiful home that will last for generations. You know, we want to see this affect generations after us, not just you and your husband. We want to see your children blessed, your neighbors blessed, and then those families being blessed. So again, just remembering to be patient. And the last thing that I want to talk about with this is how you have to intentionally build your home. A home does not build itself. A home doesn't get built when you put it on the back burner. A home doesn't get built when you focus on everything else outside of your home and you use just that last little 5% of your energy to build it. So you have to remember to be intentional about building your home, whether you are a working mom, a stay-at-home mom, or maybe you don't have children, maybe you're a newlywed, maybe you have been married for 15 years and you've struggled with infertility, whatever it is, you have to intentionally build your home. A home will not build itself. So you have to be intentional about it and keeping that at the forefront of your mind. And it says a wise woman built her home. So this is obviously something that's very important to God. It's very important to God. And so aligning your heart with his heart, what is his heart for your home? And his heart is for you to be wise and to build your home and to have it as a beacon of light in your community. So just remembering that you have to be intentional about this, okay? You have to be praying about it. You have to be pouring your blood, sweat, and tears over your home. So just remembering those three things, you need the tools and you need the know-how. You need to be patient and you also need to be diligent and intentional about the work that God has given you to build up your home, no matter what season you're in. If you're a daughter, a sister, a mother, a friend, whatever season you're in, you are called to build up your home. So with that, let's talk about some more practical ways to build up your home. So Esme, I want to ask you a question. Just kind of from your own personal background. So if a woman did not grow up in a Christian home with Christian parents, or maybe she did and her Christian mother was not the best at building up her home, what's a piece of advice that you would give to that woman?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Before we get into that though, okay. I have to say, oh my goodness. And this is why I love talking to you, because you have such a fresh and such a godly perspective on things. I love it. I love what you just said about, you know, going to God to, you know, with things like how you're going to build your home, you know, and like taking that to God. I love that. I love that you talk about intentionality. I am all about being intentional. I mean, I love being intentional. I think like
so
there
important.
Is no way. Yes. There's no way that you can do something unless you're intentional about it. You know, like you can have a relationship with somebody unless you actually do the work to have a relationship with somebody. And I feel like that's how it works with God. You know, we can't really have a relationship with God unless we are intentional about spending time with God, about going to God with the things that we have in our hearts and in our minds. So I love it. I love that you just said that. And I love what you said about, you know, just having wiser women around us. That is so important. I think like, you know, just having people around you just to begin with is amazing, because you can hear different, you know, just different ways to how to look at things. So how to do things. I mean, you do need a support system, you know, as well.
Oh yeah,
so
for sure.
I love how you think and what you just share about, you know, just building your home. I love that. Now going back to your question now, what do we do if you didn't necessarily grow up with Christian parents, if you did, but it was just different? I would say for me, and I can only speak for, you know, for myself and my experience, I didn't grow up with Christian parents and I didn't grow up with both of my parents. So for me, I knew early on when I had kids that I couldn't look at my parents and use that as the foundation of, or like the example of how I wanted to build my house. Mm-hmm. I had to like look at God and see his qualities and his character, how he is to me as a father, so that I would take on that. And that's the kind of like parent that I wanted to be. Like, that's the kind of house that I wanted to have. So I would say if you didn't grow up in an environment where like your parents were there to guide you and teach you godly ways to encourage your family, you know, because our kids are everything that they do, they get from us.
Mm-hmm. So they learn to talk.
Yes, they learn to talk like we talk, you know, and they do the things that we do. They're always watching. You know, so they do what we do. So when it comes to like encouraging and building up your family, if you're not doing it, they're not learning. Mm. You know, in fact, you know, we hear a lot of, you know, if we look at just people in general, you know, we hear a lot of people saying, well, I behave certain way because that's how my father behaved. Mm-hmm. Or I did that because this is how my mom did it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even there's a lot of my girlfriends, like there are amazing cooks and they're very crafty, you mm-hmm. know, and when I ask like, well, when did you learn to do this, you know, or whatever, they always, or for the most part, they're like, oh, this is how my mom did it. Mm-hmm. You know, and now you have like a grown woman in her 40s, you know, saying things like, this is how my mom did it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It really like sticks with you.
Yeah, it does.
For your whole life.
Yes, it does. Yeah. So our kids are always watching us. So when it comes to like building up and encouraging your kids, that's something that I believe we have to teach our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to encourage them with words. We have to build them up. And it shouldn't be really hard to, you know, like to tell the people that you love how good they are and what you think about them. Because mm-hmm. if you truly love someone, you should be able to tell them good things because you love them, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. You should be able to point out what good in them just because you love them. Yeah. And even if there was nothing good in a person and you still love them, just because you love them, you would find something good in them. Because I feel like that is how God sees us. Yeah. You know, not everything in me is good, yet God still loves me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one thing that we probably struggle with, and I'm just thinking about just with my husband, but I can see how you would struggle with it with kids, you know, once they're a little bit older and stuff. But I feel like sometimes one of the things that really blocks us from being able to speak life into them is we try to be their Holy Spirit. We yeah. try to be the one who tells them what they're doing wrong and correct it. And I have to remind myself all the time that I am not my husband's Holy Spirit. I can't be. I do not have the capacity. I'm not God. I cannot be his Holy Spirit. And so sometimes I think that we get so focused on trying to fix the people that we almost can't even see the good anymore, you know? And there's that verse in James and it talks about draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And sometimes I'm like, I'm trying to drag my husband near to God. And that's not how it works. You know, yeah. It doesn't say if your wife or your friend or your, you know, sister drags you to God, then God will draw near to you. You have to be the one to do that. And so sometimes I just have to pray like, God, help me to see my husband how you see him. Like, give me yeah. the eyes for him that you have for him. And, you know, maybe sometimes he does something that I don't like. And I'm like, that's not how a godly man's supposed to act. And I can pray that. And then instead I can see how maybe he's hurting or maybe he's stressed or maybe he's dealing with something deeper than what I can see on the outside, you yeah. know? And I think just remembering what our role is, our role in whoever's life it is, we're not their Holy Spirit. And when we can remember that, it's a little bit easier to focus on the good, I think.
Yeah, that is so true. Yes, it's so true.
Okay, friends, get this on your calendar. We have an event coming up October 8th of this year, held in Pensacola, Florida at Marcus Point Baptist Church. It's a night out with Truth Rising where we are going to be pouring into military and first responder marriages, active duty or prior. Y'all, there's dinner included, child care is included, speakers. Right now, early bird tickets are $40 a couple and $20 an individual because we all know how the lifestyle goes. We're talking prizes of $500 Costello's Butcher Shop gift card, a Yeti cooler, a family photography session, and more. Do not miss this. Again, it's October 8th of this year from 4 to 8 p.m. in Pensacola, Florida. See the podcast description for the link to get your tickets today.
All right. So another thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, just as easy as it is to encourage and build up your family, it is just as easy to tear it down. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're tearing our own family down with our words, you know. In the podcast, I did talk about things like divorce doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. Married people, they don't become unhappy overnight. It happens over time. Over time, you know, we can be calling each other's mistakes and things that we have done in the past, and that builds up and that tears us down. There's nothing better to tear a person down than to tell them what they're not good at. And I think that that is so important to just know and realize that even without knowing that we're tearing our own homes down, we can be doing it by the way we talk to our children, the way we talk to our husbands, our parents, anybody in your family. I mean, your friends. It doesn't even have to be in your family. It can be your friends. The way that we talk to people, it's the way that we are either going to build them up or we're going to tear them down. And ladies, we're talking about our homes. You know, we can become foolish just as easy and start tearing our homes down without even knowing that we're tearing them down. And I know, Maggie, you did share something with me earlier today. And oh my goodness, that really just touched my heart because you talked about something that I believe a lot of people can relate to your story.
Yeah. So my husband and I, we will hit 10 years of marriage in December. And which is crazy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm that old now that I've been married for 10 years.
You stop it.
Oh, gosh. But it's also so good. And I would say this memory is like stuck in my brain, like at the front of my brain. And I think it's just God's way of reminding me, like, don't go back here. Don't do this again. It was probably literally one of the first times, if not the first time, that I had done our laundry as a married couple. And, you know, I'm trying to be the good little housewife. So I'm folding all the laundry to put it away. And I remember my husband said to me, he said, "Oh, that's not how my mom folded my shirts." And my response was, "Well, you can take your laundry to your mom and have her fold it." And I know like it almost sounds like something out of a sitcom. Like when I say it, like, it sounds like, you know, how the world would react, you know, how lost people would react, not how a Christian woman would react. And those words, I so wish I could take them back because how ugly are those words for me to say to him? And yes, maybe some people think that it's silly that he was like, "Well, you know, that's not how my mom folded my shirts," but he was just trying to communicate with me how he preferred something to be done. And I took it so personally and I spoke so harshly to him. I would hate it if he spoke to me like that, you know, and every other woman would agree with me that my husband should never speak to me like that. But I think a lot of women, if we look at the culture, they would be like, heck yes, girl, like, you stand your ground. Don't fold his shirts the way he wants them folded. But like literally, I hadn't even started building my home and I was already tearing it down. Like we were newlyweds, brand new in our brand new apartment together. And I was already tearing my home down and the first brick was not even up. And then while my husband was deployed back in 2020, I really had a huge coming back to Jesus time, and God really showed me a lot of my shortcomings as a wife and how I was tearing my home down and I was not building it up. And He really taught me a lot during that time. And I mean, I hated having my husband away from me, but it was a really good time to just reflect and to take baby steps of how to begin growing my home again. And then when he was home again, one time I was up in the nursery and I was fixing something or cleaning, and he asked me to come down and help him with a very simple task, something that I thought he didn't need help with. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, are you serious? You are like interrupting what I'm doing, and you should be able to do that by yourself. You don't need help with that. And the Spirit just grabbed me by the skin on my neck and was like, you are called to be his helper. If he didn't need help, why would I have given you to him? God was really just so clear with me in that moment that, like, this is what you're meant to do, to help your husband and to do that with a joyful heart. I've given you this blessing of having this husband. Go help him. Go help him with a joyful spirit, and how much that will bless him, even if it's just a little bit. But could you imagine if I had said something rude to him? You don't need my help with that. I'm busy. How quickly that would have teared him down. And yeah. So I'm so grateful for God for giving me that kick in the butt to be like, listen up, lady. You know, he gave me that firm, stern, fatherly love of shape up, girlfriend, because that's not how we act. It's not how a godly woman acts. She builds up her home. She does not tear it down. And so I'm so grateful for that. And really, I had to start earning my husband's trust again on the fact that I could build up the home. And I remember I started asking him every single day if there was something that he needed me to do. Every morning before he would leave for work, I would say, do you need me to do anything today? I'm still a stay-at-home mom. And that was kind of when I started staying home, was after 2020 because of the pandemic. And so I'd ask him every single day what he needed me to do. And at first he wouldn't tell me anything. He would just be like, nope, nothing. And then finally he one day was like, yeah, I need you to do this. And it was just a small little task. And I made sure to prioritize that task. If I didn't get anything else done that day, that task was getting done. Yeah. And then he started trusting me with bigger things. Okay, can you do this and this? And I would make it a priority every single day. This is my task that I have to get done to help build up my husband and to help him know that I'm here for him and I'm here. I love that verse that you shared, to bless him for the rest of his life and to do good for him. And so now I don't have to ask him. I don't ask him every day what he needs me to do. Sometimes I do. Every once in a while, oh, do you need me to do anything? But now he just comes and he tells me, I need help with this. I need you to do this. I noticed this issue. Can you please do something about it? And in our last PCS, we just moved to Florida at the beginning of the year. I was joking and I was like, I feel like his secretary right now, because he every day was telling me, you know, they have this huge to-do list of checking out, and we had to ship cars because we were coming from Hawaii and I had to sell my car, and we had to do all the packing up, and we have to make sure that we have all of our 50 bags to take on the airplane because who knows how long it's going to be till we have our stuff. But it felt so good that he trusted me to be like his secretary. And he trusted me to tell me every single thing. And he trusted that I wasn't going to miss a beat, because that's a lot of stuff. You know, he had all these important meetings he had to go to. And every morning he's like, okay, what do I need to do today? And it felt so good that he trusted me to do that. And that's how I knew, okay, I am building my house. It's not perfect yet, but I can see the progress. The roof might not be on, but the walls are coming up.
Yeah.
And it's such a good feeling. And I'm so grateful that God has helped guide me to that place where now I do feel like I'm blessing him and I do feel like I'm a wonderful asset in his life. Of course, there's still many things that I need to work on, but we're seeing the progress. And so that's not a very short story, a long story. But I think it's an important one because again, patience, you got to be patient. That all did not happen overnight.
And I love that. I love how you share, you know, that God was like, you are here to be his helper. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that. I love that because I never thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I was a wife and I don't think that I ever thought, you know, I'm supposed to be my husband's helper.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even now, I mean, even with my kids, I just guess I never really had that thought, you know, of like, I'm supposed to help them. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure I help my kids.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't remember a time where I felt so strongly that God was telling me, you know, like you are supposed to be their helper. I mean, I love that. I love that. What a wonderful thing to have God just tell you that, you know, and for you to like, listen to that, you know, and actually act on it. You do talk about trust. And I love that. I love because I know how, you know, a lot of people can be like, what? You're crazy. You don't have to be earning anybody's trust. Or like, I don't need to earn my trust with my husband. Mm-hmm. But the reality it is like we women do that. I mean, do we trust the husbands with our babies?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, let's be real, right? Like we go out. I remember when my kids were little and they would stay with their dad, you know, we'd go out with my girlfriends for coffee or for dinner. And I would be thinking in the back of my head as I'm sitting there with my girlfriends, you know, mm-hmm. I wonder if the kids got lunch,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like, I wonder if they got their snack. Did they take a nap? I have no idea, you know? And so we women, we do that, you know, mm-hmm. we don't trust our husbands mm-hmm. with everything. So I love that you talk about trust and I love how, you know, you say you started asking him to earn his trust. I mean, that just shows your character. It shows the kind of person you are and it shows the kind of house that you want to build. Which I think is so important because I think all of us should be asking ourselves, what kind of house do we want to have?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the podcast, I did share, you know, how I make, you know, scripture, the word of God personal to me. And it's so funny that you mentioned that because that's exactly where I was going to go after you were done talking. I was going to talk about, you know, that verse that I shared at the end of the podcast. And that verse is, it comes from Proverbs 31 and it talks about, you know, her husband can trust her and she's going to enrich his life and make his life better, bring him good and not harm all of the days of her life. And I think like, oh my goodness, if that is the attitude that we have as wives, or moms, or the attitude that we have as daughters, you know, towards our parents, like to think, you know what, my parents are going to trust me and I'm going to bring my parents goodness
mm-hmm.
all of the days of my life. Like, I mean, that is just, I mean, can you imagine, like, I can only imagine how a husband would feel if we say that to him, you know, if we mm-hmm. go to our husbands and say things like, you know what, honey, I am going to be the one person that you trust and yeah. I'm just going to bring goodness to you for your whole life. I mean, yeah. I would
your
be
whole life.
Your whole life. I would be like, what is this really happening to me? I mean, how awesome that would be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because I feel like so many people have an issue with talking about women submitting to their husbands and, you know, like, oh, okay. So I'm just supposed to be a doormat and just, you know, like let him make all the decisions. And the number one thing I always try to get across to women is I'm like, become your husband's wisest advisor.
Yes.
Help him to know that you are there and you're going to make wise decisions and you're going to pray about decisions and you're going to give him godly advice. And you're going to pray for him to make these right decisions, because I think we always get afraid that we're losing control. And that's a big thing is when you're looking at submitting, you are giving over control. And I think it's a beautiful dynamic though, because Jesus always talks about the first will be last and the last will be first. And he talks about having a servant's heart. And so I almost feel like as wives, we can come into that much more naturally. But then of course our flesh is going to tell us, no, don't do that. You don't want to give control. And so I think just remembering that, like, you are supposed to be blessing your husband all the days of his life. And one of the things that you can do is by being a wonderful advisor to him. It doesn't mean just being a doormat and letting, you know, okay, babe, you make all the decisions. I'm just here to cook and clean and, you know, have kids. But it's like, no, like really learn how to be wise with your money, with your spending, do your research on stuff. You know, I talked to my husband about the desire to homeschool and we're still a few years away, but I'm sure if I can come to him and tell him like, here are the reasons that I want to do this. And here is my plan to do this. He'll feel so much more secure in making his decision as the head of the household of, okay, do we do this or do we not?
Yeah.
You know, and so just making sure that you truly are seeking to bless your husband and to bless your children. And to, again, like we talked about, your friends, your parents, whoever it is, to make sure that you are seeking to bless them all the days of their life.
Yeah. I think you just talked about something really like, it just made me think like, you know, you say, you know, like people talk about, oh, you're just supposed to be a doormat, but that example that you just share with us, you know, it's like, it's your idea. It's your desire to want to, you know, homeschool. And obviously, you know, you're married, so you have to make decisions together. Mm-hmm. But how is it so that then your husband's going to be like, all right, Maggie, let's just, homeschool, right? Yeah. Like you are getting to do what you want to do, right? Like it's not even your husband's idea. It's not his desire. I mean, you know what I mean? Like what I'm saying is like, yes, he is going to have, you know, obviously he's going to say, you know, yes or no, based on what, you know, I mean, the situation, what you are getting to do, your desire, you are getting to do what you want to do as a mom and as a wife, right? So the idea that you would just be a doormat or you don't get to do your way, you only get to do what your husband wants you to do. It's kind of not how it's going, right?
Yes.
I think it's just such a thing that we just misinterpret all the time.
Yeah.
But you just said it's, you know, it just made me think of that. It's like, okay, we're talking about this, but you are getting to do what, you know, kind of like what you feel is best for your family. And to, you know what I mean? To just prove the point that no, you are not a doormat. You are not just going off with whatever your husband wants to do. It's such a good point. Like, I love everything. Like all of your stories, I feel are like so relatable. Like everybody can relate to them and you have so much wisdom and your character is so sweet. I love it. I love it.
Oh, it's all, I'm so grateful to God just, you know, cause it's the source. He's the source of all of it. I think it's just, you have to be willing. Are you willing to listen? You know, are you even listening for his voice during the day? I think honestly, you know, I think I've said it before, like 2020 was terrible in so many ways, but it was such a good year for my spiritual growth because I literally got down to like, all I had was to listen to God. That was the only thing. There was nothing, there was no other distractions. You know, God got me down to kind of this like almost a rock bottom. And I know rock bottom looks a lot different for different people, but that was like a rock bottom moment where it was either I'm going to dig myself further into this darkness or I'm going to let God take me out of this pit. And you have to let God take you out. You can't crawl out yourself. And so, you know, it's a huge God thing. It's huge. And I think through it, I really learned that I have to listen for his voice and always be on the lookout for that. And he'll talk to you, but you have to be listening and you have to get a lot of the other stuff out. a lot of the other distractions have to get out. So I'm grateful that I went through that because it helped me tune my ears a lot better. So it was rough, but it was definitely for the best for me. And that's, you know, God says, if we as earthly parents know how to give our children good gifts, like how much better he knows to give us good gifts.
Yeah.
He's the best father and he knows exactly what we need. He is. And now, Esme, I have one little question for you that will probably have a big answer. What is the biggest practical thing you want women to take away from this series about being a wise woman?
Oh my goodness. Okay. The biggest thing that I would want women to take away is that it truly is really easy to start to encourage and build up your own family. Mm. Like we can do that, you know, just with words. Like start telling your kids and your husband how good they are. Tell them what they're good at. Tell them things that you think and things that you feel about them. You know, you love your children. So tell them how much you love them. Tell them that they're good at math. They're good at, you know, whatever they're good at. Just tell them and just encourage them, build them up. Do the same with your husband. You know, one easy way now with technology is so easy. You know, you can just send a little text. I mean, you don't even have to use words nowadays. You can just like emoji.
Yeah.
Your whole text, you know?
And they'll know what it means.
I know, right? Exactly. So you don't even have to type it out. You know, you don't have to do this letter that you have to write and put it in the mail. I mean, honestly, it's so easy. Mm-hmm. You can just send a heart. And I mean, I know sometimes I just get like a little heart and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just love this. Or you get like the little, you know, like the little smiley face. And you're just like, I am just like, oh my goodness. Like, I am just so happy that somebody just texted me a smiley face, you know? Yeah. And so even without words, we can love, encourage, and build up our family. And that would be the one thing that I would want to encourage women to do. To just realize that it's just so easy to do. Mm. Like, get your phone out. If you know what time your husband gets home, go wait for him on the driveway. Take your kids out. Go wait out there for him. Have your kids run out to, you know, hug him hello and to welcome him. I mean, what an awesome way to come home.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I would want to come home if I know my little people are out there waiting for me. Mm-hmm. Right? Like those are things that they're so easy that we forget that it could be so easy to encourage and build up our family.
Yeah.
You know, like make your husband's favorite dinner, make your kids' favorite dinner. Mm-hmm. Like I know in my family, like having breakfast for dinner, it was like the best thing ever. You know, so we would do that often. We still do. Mm-hmm. We used to have like Happy Fridays. You know, on Fridays, we always get pizza. Mm-hmm. And that just meant a lot for my kids. I don't even know why, but that just meant a lot for them. And so every Friday we would have pizza. It goes from words to things that you do, right? Words turn into actions.
Yeah.
And that would be the biggest thing that I would want people to know and to get out of being a wise woman. It's like, it's so easy to become wise. But if you just do it, if you just start to do it, and if you find it hard, I said in the podcast, like, I know that words don't come as easy for everyone. And like, I get that. But you know what? The more you do it, the easier it gets. And like you talk about being intentional, can't have something unless you go get it.
Yeah. You have to take that first step.
Yes. Yes. So that would be the one thing that I would say, you know, like that's the easiest practical way to become wise and really just start doing it.
Yeah. After listening to the podcast last week, that day I was like, I'm going to text my husband. I was like, when was the last time that I told him something that I admire about him or something good? And so I was like, you said you were like, text them today. And I was like, okay, Esme, I'm going to do it. So I sent him a text. And then I remembered like that he had sent me a video of this recipe And when he sends me a video of a recipe, that means he wants to try it. You know what? I'm going to go get that and I'm going to make that for him for dinner. And, you know, I'm sure that he was just like, oh, she remembered that I wanted to try that. Like you said, like I would feel so special, you know, if someone did that for me. And so, yeah, it's just taking that first step and it can feel, and it's, you have to be vulnerable and that can be hard, but just taking that risk that God tells you to build up your home. And if you do what God tells you to do, he's going to bless that. And that might not look like, oh, now all of your marital problems are gone because you sent a smiley face to your husband, you know, but just stepping out in faith and remembering that, like, you have to do what God calls you to do. And your husband might not respond the way that he is supposed to, but that's on him. And we can only control ourselves. We can influence the people in our lives. But at the end of the day, the only person that we have control over is ourselves. And so, you know, it's hard. And it's, someone may be saying, well, I've tried all those and it didn't work. But you just have to keep doing what God calls you to do.
Yeah.
I love that verse that says, do everything unto the Lord. And so even if you feel, I don't want to be nice to my husband, you don't know what he's done to me. You don't know how he talks to me, but saying, okay, I'm not doing this for my husband right now. I'm doing this for God. I'm just doing this to listen to what God has told me to do. And it helps.
Yeah,
it does. It helps to remember that you are, in building up your home, you are serving God.
Yes. Yes. So right. So good too.
Yeah.
Thanks for those words, Maggie. You are so wise too. Oh my goodness. This is why I love having this like Q&As with you, just talking about life and talking about, you know, what happens in our homes and how can we encourage women? Because this is real. This is real life.
Yeah.
You know, we don't hear a lot about, you know, what's going on in, you know, in real life, but this is real for us. And this is why we want to do this. This is why we want to do ministry the way that we do it, because we want people to know that living the Christian life is not, you know, it's not Hollywood.
Mm.
It's not a fairy tale. Yeah, it's not a fairy tale, right? Like, it's not like, you know, we met Prince Charming and we live happily ever after. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are really good things, right? But there's also people, we're humans, and, you know, we have lots of things going on with us. So I really appreciate your view and your take on everything and your wisdom and sharing your story. I love your stories. Like, I feel like every time you share something, it helps me be a better person. And, you know, it gives me something to think about, you know, now I'm going to be thinking about, man, I'm supposed to be a helper. You know, that's really my takeaway out of this conversation. I'm supposed to be a helper. And if 25 women listen to this and they start to think, oh my goodness, you know what? Like, I'm supposed to be a helper. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm supposed to bring goodness to my husband. That's 25 homes that are going to be touched and are going to get better because something that you said. And I love that. And I really hope and pray that our ministry will do just that. Reach people's homes, real people, real homes that are going to become better and stronger because of what we're doing here at Truth Rising.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Just the realness. You got to be real with people because I can sit here and lie to y'all all day about how great I am. But it's just not the truth. I've got so much to learn and, I love talking with you too. I feel like you're one of those iron sharpens iron women. Like, I always leave like, huh, how can I do something better? Or, you know,
I love it. So now let me just ask that question to you before we close this episode.
Okay.
Like, what is your advice? What is your practical way? What would you want women to get out of this? How to be a wise woman series?
You know, I saw something, I think close to the beginning of the year, and it really stuck with me. And it was this list of like, how to be like a high quality wife, like some qualities that you would see. And one of them that I've never heard before was being a responsive wife. So if you see something do something. So I have never been like, I feel like I'm a hard worker, but like I can be lazy about things too. I could see that the couch cushions were messed up and be like, "Man, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal, whatever." But after seeing that, I feel like my eyes are more open now to just being able to see issues and fixing those. And I don't know, maybe if it's just because of who my husband is, he's a very tidy person. You know, he's military. He likes things clean. He likes to come home to a peaceful home, not disheveled and everything. So I think for me, just being more aware of my surroundings and how I can make my home more peaceful. And even maybe just look at who your husband, or again, we're not just talking to women who are wives, but look at who your husband is, or your mom or dad, or, you know, friend, sister, brother. Look at who that person is and see how do they receive love. You know, you hear about the love languages. You know, my husband, like I said, he likes for the home to be tidy. It makes him feel comfortable. It makes him feel at peace. And so me doing things around the home helps him. I'm sure that he appreciates me telling him like things I admire about him, but that's not going to fill up his love tank quite like me making his favorite meal or me taking 20 minutes to clean up the house before he comes home. So just look at the person, kind of like what you were saying, look at your person and say, who are they? How do they tick? And just take that first step, whatever it is. If it's quality time, okay, maybe leave the mess on the floor and go talk to your husband.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's receiving gifts. When you see something at the store that makes you think of them, even if it's their favorite gum. Oh, your gum. I saw your gum today, so I bought it for you. And I brought you a little card. Mine is words of affirmation. So like if my husband just tells me even, oh, this meal was so good. I'm like, yeah. I feel so in love right now. So just take some time to look at your person and look at who God created them to be and take that first step of loving them in a way that they're going to receive that well, I think would be, yeah, just taking the focus off yourself for a minute and looking at them and being responsive to how they receive love, and then do it and love on them. Because we all need it. You know, this world is just such a harsh place. And we really want our homes to be a sanctuary, somewhere for our family and our friends to come and be able to just take a breath and relax and just feel that peace of God wash over them from what you've been doing in your home for them.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Maggie. I think we have
enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Maggie, for sharing with us. Thank you for, you know, just being so honest and so open to sharing with everybody parts of your life and your thoughts. And just, I love talking to you. Like I can't even, I just love the conversations that we have. And here at Truth Rising, we really hope and pray that everything that we share is going to be something that is going to impact your life and make your families better. So with that being said, ladies, drop your comments, share your stories with us. If you have any questions, if you need prayer, let us know. Yes. We want to be here for you. And again, let us know your stories, how anything in our conversation has impacted you. We want to hear your stories. We want to know. And again, we hope that you have an amazing day. We hope that you have an amazing week, and God bless you. Bye.
Bye.
Here at Truth Rising, we believe in the power of prayer. And today we want to pray a blessing over you and your family. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.